You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
On the Gym Class for a Thursday on KGYM, the 11th of August. Great to have you aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here on the Gym Class program presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. Terrific show for you coming up on this Thursday. Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us. We will take a look ahead to Iowa Media Day coming up tomorrow in Iowa City. Take a look back. He was in Ames as well for Iowa State Media Day. He is in Dyersville for tonight's Field of Dreams Part 2 between the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. Bevy of subjects we will discuss with Scott Docterman, and we will do that coming up in just a little bit. Get to the news of the day, which includes the Field of Dreams game, etc., etc. Round number one of the FedEx Cup playoffs going on today with a little drama earlier on. We'll get to that as well. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Love to hear from you out there. We really enjoy interacting with our listeners. And again, that is at 319-366-1600. And welcome in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. And Mark, good afternoon. Spencer left the television on. White Sox are playing. It's very hard. Well, first of all, they're screwing up another really good Dylan Cease performance, but it's really hard to come up with 9 hits and no runs, but by golly, the 2022 White Sox can pull that off. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And yeah, the Royals leading 1-0 in the 7th inning over the White Sox. We'll get to the rest of the scoreboard on the Emo's Hideaway scoreboard later on.
Yeah, more runs to come. Joe Kelly is now on. I asked every time I converse with John Bonacamp, resident Dodger fan, I ask him, what in the world did you do to Joe Kelly before you before he shipped out of Los Angeles? Because that ain't the same pitcher I watched for the Dodgers.
Not at all.
I can tell you that, but whatever. We'll keep tabs on the afternoon baseball here. We are, oh gosh, about 3 hours away from the first pitch or so, a little bit over 3 hours away from the first pitch. Up at Dyersville, the Field of Dreams portable stadium, I guess for a lack of a better term, as the Cubs and the Reds will get ready to go at it this evening. And it's fun. It's Americana. It's the state of Iowa being put in the spotlight once again, like it was on Tuesday night when the Colonels and River Bandits went at it up there in a minor league game. It's certainly not Yankees-White Sox from last year. These two teams, I believe, are 4th and 5th right now. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, on that. They're battling with the Pirates in the National League Central for 3rd, 4th, and 5th. But, I guess it's still something to tune in for, correct?
Depends on who you are. We've seen this game last year. We saw a version of it on Tuesday at the minor league level anyway. And now it's MLB at the Field of Dreams, Part 2, the sequel. And we know about a lot of sequels, right, Scott? It's going to be hard to top last year's game. But it is a major league game. In Dyersville, Iowa, and we'll see what unfolds tonight. Who's going to win? That's our poll question at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City.
Cubs are in 3rd, by the way. Cubs 3rd, Pirates 4th, Reds 5th right now in the National League Central.
I think there's a portion of people going tonight really don't care who wins. They're just going for the experience. Am I wrong?
You know what did my heart well today? That is the fact that I was stopping off at a local convenience store and saw a family that was there and all dressed up. And let's see, one of the kids had Cub stuff on. The other kid had Red stuff on. Dad was wearing baseball stuff as well. And I just said to myself, they got to be going to Dyersville, right? I mean, where else, you're going at 11 o'clock in the morning or whatever, maybe going up to the movie site prior to that, what have you. And, you're right. I think there are going to be some people going. We know there are Cub fans. We know that. All around Eastern Iowa, they're going to be there. It's going to be a sellout tonight. It's going to be a pro-Cub crowd. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think there are a certain number of people that are going to be there that are just going to be there to take in a Major League Baseball game in the state of Iowa. Going to be special. Last year was special. This one, not quite as, with the notoriety of last year's being the first with the Yankees, a pretty good White Sox team last year. But it's still Major League Baseball, right?
It is, and as we talked about the other day after the minor league game, in my opinion, this Field of Dreams experience is at the risk of being overexposed. I almost think a one-off would have been good. You know, what are they going to do for a minor league game? There aren't two other teams besides Quad City and Cedar Rapids at the Midwest League level to go ahead and play that game. The Iowa Cubs play Omaha next year. Well, there aren't going to be any games next year up there.
No.
But going forward,
319-366-1600. What do you think? As we hit 311 here on this Thursday edition of the program, as the Cubs and the Reds are going through everything up there in Dyersville right now. So, taking it all in. Pictures and video, Wilson Contreras coming out of the corn with a video camera and taking everything in. I think it's great. I'm with you. I don't know. Can you do this every year? CBS Sports asked that question. They also, and we talked about this last year when the Sox and the Yankees went at it, that is this a game that you want to move around to different parks? And we're going to ask that question again of you, our listeners, at 319-366-1600. There were some very, very good suggestions that we got last year. There are some very, very good ones as far as the staff at CBS Sports are concerned. I thought the best one was to go to Hinchcliffe Stadium in Paterson, New Jersey, the home field, if you will, of Larry Doby, who, of course, broke the color barrier as far as the American League is concerned, and maybe had the Yankees and the now Guardians, then Cleveland Indians, play in 2024 up there and do it on July 5th, which was the date I believe that Larry Doby broke in as far as the majors are concerned. So, good ideas like that. I think one-offs would be fun. I really, really do.
Yeah. And I look at college basketball and you got the games on aircraft carriers, which they've continued. I know they're going to have another game this year. How much is too much? And I think we're going to find out here fairly rapidly, and with a year off next year for the Field of Dreams game, be interesting to see what they schedule going forward. I think Frank Thomas is convinced that they want to have more games, more college games. High schools have inquired. I mean, that's a little different than a game that's going to be televised and on radio nationally. But, I don't know. Maybe they'll televise the 14 and under games at the new fields up there. I don't know.
You can find them. I bet you can. 319-366-1600. Here as we talk about tonight's Reds Cub game at the Field of Dreams movie site up in Dyersville that will get underway just past 6 o'clock. And we'll get you a complete Major League Baseball scoreboard for you coming up with Mark on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up here in just a little bit. As many games going on right now. And yeah, it'll be, I mean, do you bring out Costner again? Do you bring out, I mean, they're going to come out of the corn. We know that. Costner had the big soliloquy last year. Do you do it again? Do you do the same exact thing? I mean, tradition is good, I guess. Maybe we're poo-pooing tradition a little bit. They do tradition at so many sporting events. So many sporting events that I love, same thing year in and year out. I guess why not do it at a baseball game, huh?
Yeah, I do think that the players and the whether they're major league or minor leaguers, you referred to the Wilson Contreras video of him having his phone on coming out of the cornfield earlier today. And I do think the players and people involved with the teams, maybe their first opportunity to be at the Field of Dreams, taking it all in. It's a different scenario than a major league park. It's a historic place since the movie aired in 1989. So from that standpoint, I do think the people involved like it.
319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. A few thoughts here. 7228 says, I don't see any issues with the venue as long as it's not the same teams every year. That is, we don't get tired of Fenway or Wrigley. Each game could be someone's first time there, and it's just as special. Sure, I would agree. Would you, I mean, next year they're going to London. What, Cubs and the Cardinals are going to play a game in London, or two games in London, correct?
Correct.
And they've gone over there before. There was some talk about, you know, having a game in Italy. That was one of the suggestions. You know what? Try it out. I have no problem with it. Just like 7228 says right there.
Where else would you like to see a game like this? Nothing comes to mind. The Field of Dreams made so much sense to me.
Yeah.
And it turned out well that first year. I don't know whether some of the stadiums from different movies still exist. Are they big enough to hold an event? I don't know. I mean, you can't play it on the Sandlot site, right?
Well, that was one of the suggestions by one of the writers on CBS Sports. Build something, a major league edition of the Sandlot movie. You know, complete with a treehouse with a dog in it.
Dog on the other side of the fence or what?
In the treehouse, which would be awesome. I think it'd be great. You know, they've had them at Fort Bragg before. They've had a game. Williamsport, they talked about one of the suggestions, I believe, as well. I mentioned having it in New Jersey, having it in Durham, North Carolina, where they had,
League of Their Own?
Bull Durham.
Yeah,
maybe go to some of the All-American professional girls league. Have some of those venues. Maybe try that a little bit as well. Ian from Oxford says they need to see James Earl Jones. I would agree. He's an American iconic figure. Now, he's not doing, from what I understand, he's not doing very well health-wise. So, might not see him out there. Jeff says it's all.
And unfortunately, Ray Liotta is not available.
Nope. How about a retired All-Stars charity game at Field of Dreams? Says 3422.
I like it.
Play it on the night before or something like that, or in the afternoon, or can't do it in the afternoon. There's too much going on. But
I really miss the old-timers games. I was able to view one when I covered the All-Star game in 83. Still have the program. You know, just great players that got out there. They didn't look very good in some respects, but you saw some of the icons in Major League history. I think it'd be great.
I remember Luke Appling hitting a home run at D.C. Back in the day right there. Jeff says it's all about the corn. All about the corn right there. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim, who is a Reds fan, we should preface this by saying, lets us know, it's fun, they said. It's Americana, they said. It's Reds Cubs. Ugh, can we flex this game? If this was the NFL, this game would be flexed.
Well, we do have NFL tonight as well.
Yes, we do. That we do. We've got a couple of games tonight, preseason games in the first week of the NFL preseason. The Giants go to New England tonight to face a team of free agents and third-teamers for the New England Patriots. They've already said that is what their plan is to put out there. As a 6 o'clock start on the NFL Network, and Tennessee goes to Baltimore tonight as well. So more games coming up, including, Mark, your Bears and my Chiefs. High noon on Saturday.
I'm not going to see Pat Mahomes or Justin Fields, probably. But nevertheless, maybe that's our only shot at the Chiefs. I don't know.
0818 says, you guys need to do your show from Dyersville on game day. Well, we're not TV and we're not associated with the MLB, so I wouldn't hold my breath as far as that one is concerned. But thank you for the thought and the sentiment. Appreciate it.
An old timers game. I'd push for it.
There you go.
What was that old story about Bob Gibson in an old timers game? I think Pete LeCocq of the Cubs hit the last home run off Bob Gibson. Correct me if I got my story wrong, but they met up in a old timers game, and Gibson knocked him down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or hit him, one of the two.
Absolutely. the old joke from Major League, the movie with Bob Uecker playing Harry Doyle. This guy would knock down his own kid in a father-son game. And it goes right there. 322 here in the Gym Class program on KGYM, 319-366-1600. As we also have round number one of the St. Jude Classic FedEx Cup playoff going in Memphis at TPC Southwind. And this is for the top 125 as far as the world of golf is concerned. And Siwoo Kim, your leader, Mark, right now, as Siwoo Kim in the clubhouse with an 8-under par 62 today, had a very good round. Now actually tied with J.J. Spahn, who's also in with an 8-under par 62. That was kind of secondary to the shenanigans that went on at the putting green today at TPC Southwind, Mark.
Yeah, Cam Smith and Scottie Scheffler had a little encounter. Cam Smith was crouched down. Of course, Cam Smith reportedly signing a $140 million deal with the LIV Tour. Many reports out there in that regard, although Smith denies it. But Smith was crouched down looking at his line for a putt. Scheffler walked right in front of him and said, "See you, mate," or something to that effect. And Cam Smith looked up at him like, that's pretty bold.
They played. And it was. They played and it was. Together today too, by the way. Scottie Scheffler, Cameron Smith, and Sam Burns, 1, 2, 3 in the FedEx Cup playoffs, went at it today. And yeah, well, we need something like that in golf, right? Or do we?
Well, Scheffler made his feelings known, that's for sure. See you, mate.
Well, Cameron Smith shot a 3-under par 67 today, and I believe he got the best of Scottie Scheffler. Trying to find where Scotty ended up actually today on his round. If you know Mark, just throw it in there. Oh, plus one. So he's got that over him. Scotty Scheffler ended up with a one over par 71 today.
And Smith would rather have it that way.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's dialing that in the back of his mind right now for a comeback. Oh, man. Hey, I think you're going to see more and more of that. It's going to get very interesting as far as the PGA Tour is concerned. Coming up on 325, we're going to talk to Scott Docterman here in just a little bit. He is up in Dyersville at the game, the Reds and the Cubs. We'll talk about that, but mainly talk about Iowa football, a little bit about Iowa State. He was at Iowa State Media Day as well, so a lot of things to discuss with Doc coming up here in just a little bit. But first, Mark, want to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Open at 4 o'clock daily, and they are located across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot behind Taco John's. And check them out online at emilshideaway.com.
Royals still on top of the White Sox, 1-0, and still White Sox scoreless again. Kel Eldred's staff pitching pretty well right now.
Joe Kelly didn't get anybody out. Just let everybody know.
Ninth inning, Cleveland leading Detroit 3-2.
Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, in the seventh inning. An addendum, Mark. There's two runs for the Kansas City Royals.
Just saw that, yeah. Houston up on Texas 5-0 in the seventh inning. Colorado and St. Louis getting together. They're tied in the fifth inning. Pittsburgh and Arizona scoreless in the third. One final, Miami has defeated Philadelphia 3-0. Speaking of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Cedar Rapids Xavier product Mitch Keller got a win last night in a victory over Arizona. Keller went 5 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned runs allowed in a 6-4 Pittsburgh victory. New Orleans Saints have, signed Jack Kerner, the former Iowa defensive back, to a free agent contract. Megan Gustafson, the former Iowa women's basketball star, had a career high 15 points in 17 minutes last night off the bench for the Phoenix Mercury in a loss to Minnesota. And finally, the NBA has decided to permanently retire number 6 league-wide in honor of Bill Russell.
Yeah, that's a nice gesture. Really, really good gesture right there. And Bill Russell, of course, we lost him a couple of weeks ago. The sports world did, and just a tremendous, tremendous person on and off the court, tremendous player as well. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. A few texts to get to as the tube goes off. I have never been so frustrated and just absolutely peeved off at a team of mine than the 2022 Chicago White Sox. Can I just say that?
Sure. At least you're not getting beat by the Dodgers 2 games in a row.
They're good, though. I mean, you get my point. You get my point. The Dodgers may be the best team in baseball. It's just that this team has talent, and they just can't get it going. And they won't do anything about it. Sean from the bus trip. How about move state baseball to Field of Dreams? It will not be feasible because that is not a permanent ballpark. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, correct, Mark?
Last I knew.
So that cannot happen. Andy on the text line talking about golf. I liked Scheffler before. Now I really like him. Oh, man. I think it's great for Iowa. Bring in two teams in from anywhere, says 3153, as far as the Field of Dreams. And we talked about moving it around, maybe going to some of the cities that had women's professional baseball in the day. 3108 says yes, and throw a women's game in there somehow. Interesting. 6923 has a very interesting take. I would love for the MLB to not incorporate the Field of Dreams game or the like in the regular season. Should be a fun, low-stakes game. If they went to the league of their own side, it would be awesome to see it played with women's players as well as MLB players. So another vote for a women's game.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So a lot of thoughts, different thoughts as far as that game is concerned. We're going to talk to Scott Docterman, who is in Dyersville, coming up next after a look at the weather and a break here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm with the first meteorologist, Garrett Hyde, with a check of your forecast. A few passing showers and rumbles of thunder will continue to stick with us before clearing out a little bit later this afternoon. Highs today into the upper 70s and lower 80s, but we'll be a lot more comfortable as we head throughout our night. That cold front passes through and we'll drop the humidity just a little bit, but we will see those showers redeveloping as a stalled out front does push its way back into the area as we head into early Friday morning. That should start to clear out by Friday afternoon, leaving things a lot cooler and drier for Friday, but more heat returning as we head into the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
What's your idea of fun? Free music or watching live newscasts? One-man bands or chainsaw art? Whatever it is, you'll find your fun at the Iowa State Fair, and it's all free with your gate admission. Music fans will want to catch Adam Doliak, Colt Ford and Frank Ray, or enjoy a set with Liliac, Resurrection, A Journey Tribute, and Jason Brown. Rock out with Slaughter, Wang Chung, and Quiet Riot, and spice things up with Latino Celebration. Hairball and the Nadas return for another great year of music at the fair. Fantastic Patrick and the Rubber Chicken Show will take the stage for kids. From chainsaw artists to sandscapes, Bandoloni to robocars, nothing compares to 11 days of smiles, thrills, music, and yums. August 11th through 21st at the Iowa State Fair. Start finding your fun today at iowastatefair.org.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean hope desk?
Hope desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope. You get help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Learn more online at weneedhelpnow.com.
We need help now.com.
We need to hire for another position. No problem. It's not like I'm already trying to juggle five job sites, screen candidates, schedule interviews, and, you know, do my job.
You've had it, and we get it. Job Funnel simplifies your search. Fill out info once and we post it to all the big job sites. Job Funnel makes it easy to prioritize applicants, keep track of things, even send bulk email responses, all from one streamlined hub. Go to KZIA.com and click on Job Funnel to get started. Breathe. Job Funnel's on it.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Welcome back to the Gym Class at 3:33 here on KGYM. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. And talking a lot about the Field of Dreams game, which will come up here tonight from Dyersville, just past 6 o'clock. And talk about that and all things football coming up with our next guest, Scott Docterman, who does a terrific job with The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at The Athletic. Get yourself a subscription. Do yourself a favor with that. And joins us now from Corn Country in Dyersville. And the vibe is high there, Scott, isn't it? Despite the fact that it's two teams that are not at the top of their respective division.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, you're talking about two teams that are combined 42 games under 500. But, you know, it is kind of a magical moment. I mean, it's not the same vibe at all what we had last year, and I don't think anybody would be in their right state of mind to expect a similar type of game and conclusion. But I think overall the players seem very energized by this, and you know, and that's kind of what it's all about, is kind of invigorating baseball. I mean, some people might feel like it's contrived, but I look at it as a kind of a really interesting little situation here. I mean, it's pretty cool environment, and I think the fans will follow, and it'll be well attended, and I think they'll have a good performance.
Scott, I don't know if you've thought about this, but Frank Thomas and his group is going to construct several kids' baseball fields, a hotel or a dorm, an amphitheater and whatnot. As you look at that area, how do you see that taking shape without losing a lot of corn?
Well, the corn part of it, I don't know. I don't know what the price of corn will be in the next year and into the future or anything. But I think as long as it doesn't disrupt the venue and specifically the movie site venue, then I think it will be okay. I mean, you know, you need to start taking advantage of having something like this in your state, and it could be an economic driver here. And, you know, if you continue to make it a special event, a one-time event for MLB and what we saw the other night with minor leagues, and I even mentioned it to the Big Ten, and they're interested in it, in maybe having like a fall ball tournament where you have it like a Golden Harvest tournament where, you know, it's not for, you know, a real game or anything because you can't really do it in the fall, but just the fact that you can do it at that type of environment might be kind of cool. But as long as it's not within eyesight of the baseball stadium and the movie site, I think it'd be just fine.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people on the text line conversing with us earlier are kind of in that same frame of mind, Scott, and that is the fact, I hate to be corny here, but if you build it, they will come. Let's have a few other things there at the Field of Dreams, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think at some point you've got to figure out, is this going to be an economic driver for this region? Is this going to be a destination that people are going to be interested in attending all year? I think the other field is so pristine, and it does kind of come with an aura to it. The movie site does. And I mean, the first time I went there, it felt that way too, and that's been about 10 years ago. But I think overall, you've got to take advantage of that. You can't just let it sit and tear down the bleachers here and come back in a couple of years when they do it again and make it a one-time deal. You've got to make it an all-the-time deal. And I think that's what you can do. I know that maybe that's, you know, taking a little bit of a lack of preservation and what have you, but I think overall, you've got to capitalize on it. I mean, you know, the state, everybody's entertainment dollar isn't just going to sit still. They're going to want to come to these types of places.
Scott, I know you've been immersed in the news of the Big Ten television rights pending deal. It hasn't been announced yet, but a lot of details have come out. Who are the winners? Who are the losers? In a nutshell, your thoughts on what we think has transpired.
I think as it currently sits, if this goes through, and I expect it will in this outcome with 16 new teams coming in 2024, I think it's somewhat of a win-win for the Big Ten. Certainly is a winner with that kind of revenue to go from signing a deal that was right around $440 million in 2016 to $1.23 billion in 2023 and beyond annually. I think that certainly makes the league smile from ear to ear, and you're going to have two more teams to come in. And there's a reason why that number went up, and it's because they're in it. I think that you look at the sport of college football, I think is better for it because now you're spreading more games over across more networks. I mean, this is three linear networks, Fox, CBS, and NBC, and that just means that the sport is growing because I think in some ways, maybe it wasn't a monopolistic practice or anything, but ESPN had a monopoly on the sport, ESPN/ABC, for so many years that now it's starting to spread out, and you kind of hope that it kind of evens out a little bit in the, you know, everything from influence to maybe even bowl games. And I know ESPN is going to take a little bit of a hit with this because they're losing one of the two big brands in the sport, the Big Ten, and not having it, which it had ABC first signed its exclusive deal with the Big Ten in 1987. ESPN has broadcasted a game every year with the Big Ten since 89. Their relationships date even way back before that. So that is kind of surprising for ESPN. But overall, I think they did what they had to do. They've got the SEC. The SEC's growing with Oklahoma and Texas, and now they can probably figure out how to replace what the Big Ten brought with some games on the West Coast or the Big 12. So overall, I think the winners are bigger than the losers on this, and it's just going to remain what's the next step for the Big 12 and the Pac-10, which is what will probably be called going forward, and seeing what happens with their media rights arrangements.
Yeah, we just got used to calling it Pac-12. Now it's back to Pac-10. I'll call it Pac-8, going back to the old school days right there. I was just going to ask you about ESPN, Scott, and the fact that there's a lot of consternation with some people at that, you know, not having the worldwide leader be a part of the Big Ten is, pros and cons about that. And, you know, I think it's like anything else. In 2 years after this new deal comes into effect, I think we're just going to be all used to everything in the new fashion. Is that kind of the way you see it? Or is this going to be a big void without the Big Ten on ESPN?
It's a challenge because I think if we're talking 10 years ago, I would not have recommended this because ESPN just had such a tremendous influence on the sport, and especially the BCS and who got to go, who was ranked where. I think they've had less influence when you start to talk about things such as the college football playoff, even though they do broadcast the college football playoff weekly updates every Tuesday night in November. And that is kind of a little bit of a challenge to see, where you're going to fit there. But I don't think that this is the killer move. A lot of people have started to talk about things such as, hockey coverage. Well, hockey's more of a niche sport. And it did hurt hockey. But the Big Ten, I mean, are you telling me ESPN's not going to put highlights in of Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, USC if they're ranked in the top 10, if they're not going to, show those games? If they do, they're foolish. I mean, that'll just widen the divide. I think there's a lot of people in Big Ten country that feels like it's more or less, ESECPN anyway, and this will just kind of add to that. But so I think ESPN will still cover it. It will obviously be more influential regarding the SEC and ACC, which it has properties. But I don't think this is going to be an issue. And to top that off, I mean, with the Big Ten going to NBC and CBS as opposed to, say, another cable outlet or one that we never really heard of, I don't think that it's going to be any kind of a letdown for the for the Big Ten as all in coverage and what have you.
In terms of consuming college sports going forward, Scott, how much does this guy need to embrace streaming just a little bit more?
I think you're going to have to. It's going to be part of this, and you're looking like even at Iowa State, they're going to be on ESPN Plus, and they're going to be on certain outlets there. I mean, it is kind of a pain because we are at a kind of an intersection of how we consume entertainment, news, and other forums, whether it's the traditional cable outlet or satellite package, or now, cutting the cord and going to different, different types of streaming services. And I think that right now we've got to kind of try to play catch up with a lot of the way the platforms in which these games are on. I mean, the one thing is the Big Ten's first number 1, 2, and 3 games are going to be on linear networks. And then after that, you're going to see games on FS1 and BTN. But there will be probably a game per week, maybe multiple during non-conference parts of the season where games will appear probably on the Peacock. And if that's the case, then, it's either, hey, I'm going to have to get Peacock, or I'm going to have to go to a buddy's house or a sports bar to watch that game. And, how that impacts basketball, we're not quite sure yet. Basketball has clearly been a footnote in this whole conversation, but it will be impacted significantly because games won't appear on ESPN, which on Tuesdays and Thursdays we've been accustomed to some really good games on those nights on ESPN. But I think a lot of those will go to CBS may pick up an extra game a week. Fox certainly will. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody decides to maybe have something in prime time even on those networks. So I think right now it's we're just going to have to become more and more accustomed to it because, frankly, I was surprised in the end that they didn't go with Amazon, which really came up with a big offer in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, basketball is going to be interesting in a couple years. Get ready for some bizarre dates and some bizarre start times. So you thought the last couple years were bad at Carver. Scott Docterman joining us from Dyersville from The Athletic here in the gym class. Of course, you go from baseball, you go to Iowa City tomorrow for Hawkeye Media Day. And media days are media days, but what are you hoping to learn tomorrow from Kirk Ferentz and the staff and the players for the 2022 edition of Iowa football?
What's fascinating to me is right now it's more about how do you plan to make things work. Now they've got a full week of practice in and a few days of pads. So they now have an idea about how things are coming together. The offensive line is something that I think is really important that needs to take shape. Is it taking shape? Are you feeling good about some of your guys? Because I think there were two players, Mason Richmond and Connor Colby, who you felt like they were ascending players, long-term starters last year. They're going to fit somewhere. Then I think you look at, you know, what's happening at center. Is anybody gaining a clear advantage? And then can right tackle be a spot where they have a, quote, good story, or is it going to be a hole? Because when you look at who Iowa plays, especially in week two, Will McDonald, they're not just going to say, well, we're going to have him face off against Iowa's left tackle the whole game, you know, Mason Richmond. No, they're going to move him around and find a spot where he can actually do the most damage. So I think, you know, they've got to be sure that they're clear there. And if it's Jack Plum, fantastic. If it's somebody else, well, they better get him out there and have him work. And then I think quarterback in the passing game to me is a big question mark, because you just don't know what you know, how it's going to coalesce. I mean, there were a lot of issues last year, you know, and finally I would say, you know, receivers, they've taken a big hit both in attrition and on the injury side of things. And we need to know a little bit more specifics, but also just how that they plan to work around it. You know, it could be more two tight end sets, which it should be anyway. But that may be one way to get around the fact that they're not very healthy and they're not very experienced with that position group.
On the realignment front, Scott, Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick had some comments to make yesterday in regards to the Irish situation. It sure sounded to me like at this very moment, they're pretty comfortable being an independent. How about you?
Yeah, I listened in on what Jack had to say, and there were really, he said there were three focuses that may change their scenarios on being an independent. And, you know, number three had to deal with their Olympic sports, and they're really struggling there. I mean, they're doing a lot of travel and, you know, busing it to Midway Airport and flying to certain places all throughout the you know, ACC and doing that sort of thing. And that's challenging for them. And, the Big Ten would be much easier for them for that. The second one had to deal with the college football playoff and whether or not they have good access to that. I don't think that's going to be an issue for them, because there's going to be an expansion, and the Big Ten and SEC are going to be big proponents of getting as many at-large teams in as possible. I mean, you grow these leagues, you don't want to see fewer spots for you know, leagues like the Big Ten and SEC. You're going to want to see more at-large spots. So I would anticipate you'll see Notre Dame have an opportunity to make that happen. Now, the biggest one, to me, the biggest question mark is revenue. Once we get the final figures and can kind of dissect what teams are going to get in the Big Ten if they don't add any more teams between now and next week or the week after, I think you could see teams coming away with $85 million or so per year off this package. And if that's the case, and the, you know, right now Notre Dame's in the $25 to $30 million a year from its rights fees with NBC. Is it going to be able to go to NBC and say, we want to get comp, you know, Big Ten money and be able to get it? Or is it, there's still going to be a significant deficit? Because if they're looking over at Indiana and Purdue and they're making $80, $85 million off their rights fees and Notre Dame's making $40 million off its rights fees, then that's probably something that they're going to have to come to grips with. That it just, that it's all that the imbalance is only going to grow. And if they have a couple of bad seasons, which they did, you know, 10 years ago or so, or they hire somebody like Charlie Weiss again, I mean, they could really fall apart. So I think that's something that's probably, I think the revenue component is going to be the one that's the biggest for them to really examine. And they have a deal with NBC through 2025. The fact that NBC has Notre Dame and the Big Ten under contract and kind of leads one into the other, I think is really helpful for, you know, to keep Notre Dame. But I think it also allows them to have a really smooth transition to the Big Ten if that's ultimately the path they decide to take.
Scott, who has more pressure on them going into the fall and into the season, Brian Ferentz or Spencer Petras?
Great question. I would say Brian Ferentz probably has more pressure because he has less equity with the fans, and that's hard to say. But I think also you look at Spencer Petras, he has one more year to, you know, and I mean, I guess he does have a COVID year, should he take it, but this is year five, and this is kind of the year he has to make things happen. You know, if he wants to be a pro quarterback, which he obviously wants to be, and do all those things. So I would probably say Brian, just because the one thing with both of them that they really are probably going to struggle with a little bit is there's not a lot of benefit of the doubt among fans in Iowa for either one of them. So on third and six, if it's a kind of a rough play call or a misfire that's too high, you might even hear boos in the first game. You know, if there's even a new quarterback's coach, they might at least wait till Iowa State before they did something like that. So I think both of them are going to hear the brunt of it, and they're just going to have to fight through it and forget about the outside noise and all that other happy talk that coaches kind of put themselves through and players put themselves through when they get into the season.
Any idea what you're going to write about tonight, Scott? Are you going to let it play out? It's not going to be play-by-play of the game. I'm quite sure of that.
No, I don't think that does anybody any good, including myself, because I'm so removed from baseball that I don't know I'd be any good at it. But no, it's really, I'm the Cubs guy tonight. We have our Reds writer here, Trent Rosecrans, who does an excellent job covering the Reds for our Cincinnati site. So I think, I'm just going to try to follow things, see how they work. I went through the corn maze with a lot of the players, and Wilson Contreras followed him around. So just try to gather in the atmosphere and see if the game kind of meets what we're thinking about. Because last year it was kind of funny. I was at about 700 words going into the ninth inning. And next thing you know, when the ninth inning happened and Tim Anderson hits that home run, it was like, all right, this is what we might call a ghost story. It's never going to appear. And I ended up spending until like 1:30 in the morning rewriting it. And so I don't know if that'll be the case here, but it's going to be a combination of atmosphere, the Cubs' thoughts, and then, the performance in the game.
Hey, Scott, before we let you go, we talked to Rob Gray the other day, and he was at Media Day in Ames as well, and I know you were there also. Kind of asked him the vibe around Matt Campbell's team going into this year compared to last year.
It's completely different, between the two. Last year, they returned so many pieces, and it was kind of, you could see why it didn't measure up. And I've seen that before at Iowa in 2010, where they had a really good team, and it just, they fell short in so many little areas. But I see a hunger with this team, a vibe that really kind of stands out. Now, I don't know if Hunter Deckers is any good. I don't know if the defense can replace all of those pieces. But I do see kind of a different vibe that's more of an underdog vibe, which probably suits them better. And I see, a hunger there that I think you're going to see a good version of Iowa State this year. Now, does that mean that they're going to win more games? It might. I mean, they only won seven last year. But, does that mean they're going to come to Iowa City and win? I don't know. I mean, I have to wait and see them play. But I do think that they're going to be a competitive, difficult team in a difficult matchup and probably a better – they'll feel better about themselves this year than they did last year.
All right, Scott. Hey, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk soon. Keep up the great work with The Athletic.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Scott Docterman, live from Dyersville, joining us here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Quick break, come back, wrap things up after this.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-a-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me.
It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up on a Thursday edition of the show. Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next right here on KGYM. And they'll have more on the Field of Dreams game, et cetera, between 4 and 6 o'clock coming up here this evening. Tomorrow on the program, back to a Friday topic. And, Mark, we're going to dive into nicknames tomorrow, aren't we?
Favorite nicknames of athletes. There's a lot of them out there. The bird, the bus, and so on and so forth.
I want to go old school on these, too. I mean,
perfect.
A-Rod. That's it's a shortening of your name. It's not a nickname. Whatever.
We'll have some fun with it.
We'll have some fun with that coming up tomorrow on the program. So homework assignment overnight to get ready for that. And we'll have our Friday topic coming your way tomorrow right here on KGYM. We'll talk about the Field of Dreams game as well tomorrow on the program and wrap that up. And did you see the big to-do, Mark, about the NFL? Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, is mad at the National Football League and the Shield because they will not let him wear his favorite hat on the sidelines now.
I did not. I missed it. Please fill me in.
Yeah, it is a hat that Shanahan actually designed back in 2019. He worked with a different company than I believe what the NFL would like to work with to come up with this hat. It is his favorite. It's the one he likes to wear, but the NFL is not going to allow him to do that. So he is saying that he probably will not wear a hat until the salute to service comes up midpoint of the NFL season. Do you remember when the NFL allowed, I mean, the coaches could wear anything. Some wore suits, some did not, some wore hats, some did not. And now you have to basically dress alike. Now, that is an edict from Roger Goodell and the NFL. Of course, that has something to do with the fact that they want you to wear what they can sell, of course. But I miss those days. You know, Bud Grant wearing what he wore, Vince Lombardi. Mike Nolan was the last to wear a suit on the sideline, the very short-lived San Francisco 49er coach, as a tribute to his father. But why not let him wear what they want to wear? Come on.
Yeah, would Tom Landry have to wear an NFL-approved suit?
Yes.
Today he would.
He would not. He wouldn't get to wear a suit. Tom Landry would not get to wear the hat or the suit if he coached right now. All right, Mark, good show. Have a good night. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union right here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
5X480. Dayton B100 V-Belt. One of the many parts Granger carries. It's also the item that helped Rob carry the day. The job was on hold. Deadline fast approaching, but a quick search on Grainger.com